Log Talk Radio.
Oh man, you're about to be in here, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us with Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. Three, four. I got something in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to
sing along.
Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven rain. Ring with the harmony, oh, liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high. Out in the Georgia. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us this far, oh, along the way, thou who has bowed thy mind to the light, keep us forever, oh, in the past we pray.
Let them come to you for your
is everyone else in your car? There are no rules. See, you'll never conclude with anyone else. Don't think the same as everyone else.
I now want to bring forth a friend who has, he is deceptive in that his social style is of such. One can miss his seriousness and his commitment, for their success is beyond argument. When we opened this Wall Street project and we talked about it, it gave us space at 40 Wall Street, which was to make a statement about our having a presence there. Beyond that, in terms of reaching out and being inclusive, he's done that too. And created for many people a comfort zone when I ran for the presidency in 84 and 88.
Just.
And many others thought it was either laughable or something to avoid. He came to our business meeting here in New York because he has this sense of the curious and a will to risk to make things better. And so aside from all of style and his pizzazz, he's a serious person who is an effective builder of buildings with a builder of people. Last year, he was a part of our workshop, of our panel workshop on what are the challenges and opportunities. And so this, a year later, Donald Trump, for a few minutes, challenges and opportunities to embrace the underserved communities. Donald Trump.
Only person to give money to HBCUs.
Well, it is an honor to be here, and I was with Jesse last year, and we had a lot of fun, and it was a little different. Jesse started off by saying, most of the wealth in this country is in the hands of a few. And I thought to myself, is that a bad thing? What's wrong with that, Jesse? But he did have an expression last year. And I was just telling Roger. He had an expression last year, the wall on wall must fall. And you haven't used it today, and I'm very disappointed in this, Jesse, because I thought it was a great expression. And I heard the expression about 14 times, and then he came to me at the end of the session, and he said, listen, I want some office space in your building on Wall Street, because the wall on wall will fall. And I said, it's okay, Jesse, I'll make a good deal with you. I'll get you some space. You'll pay about $40 a foot. And he said, no, I don't want to pay 40. I said, how about 30? No. It was the cheapest deal I ever made in the history of 40 Wall Street. Is that right? He got it for nothing. He was a very tough negotiator. We know that, right? Nah, he's a terrific guy. We love him, and I'm here for him. And the snow came, and I said, gee, nobody's going to show up, and look at this place. It's packed. Well, I'll just say a few words. I mean, Wall Street and New York City and this whole region is doing unbelievably well. I'm building a job on the West Side, which is the largest job ever approved by the New York City Planning Commission. You see it going up along the West Side Highway. It's almost 10 million square feet. It's 18 buildings, and it's really going to be something. I will tell you, a large percentage of the people, and especially in construction, that are building these great jobs are black and minorities, and I'm very proud of it. We have close to 25%, and I think the number's going up, and they do a great job. There are no better builders than we have in New York, and a big percentage of that is black and minority folks. So I just want to thank everybody in the room for being here. I look forward to some questions. And then I don't know how we're ever going to leave this building today, because if you look outside, it is terrible. But we'll figure a way. There's always a way. And thank you. And thank you, Jesse. And congratulations.
You want to know something crazy?
This is the man they say is a white supremacist.
I ain't going to lie. When he said at the end, somebody would say,
that was racist.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody they
would have
took it as racist.
That's racist! But he wanted black people and minority people working on something.
He wanted to give black people jobs. That's
people
racist.
Nitpick. That's people racist. Nitpick everything. People nitpick in today's society. They nitpick and pick and choose and move the goalposts and do whatever they can to make their argument on any scenario fit their narrative.
A little bit off topic. When I was looking at this name, I was a little messed up. Rainbow Push Correlation. Y'all know what that is?
Hell no.
I think it's the name of Jesse's civil rights organization. I was like, why would he name it Rainbow Push Correlation?
He probably had
a little sugar in this thing.
I don't think that was a thing back then.
What?
This was 1989.
What? What wasn't a thing?
They were talking about being
I seen the video.
We do things for ourselves. We're tired of beating
our
head against the wall and working with someone else.
Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Good morning, y'all. How y'all doing? It's a little warm outside, but warmer than it was last week. But I'm glad to be here with y'all because you know this is the anniversary, the commemoration of this commemoration of Bloody Sunday. That they're calling the Jubilee. I don't know nothing Jubilee about that. But that's what they're calling this anniversary, the Jubilee. But it ain't the Jubilee, y'all. I don't know what how can Bloody Sunday be a Jubilee? I guess you would have had to be on that bridge to understand, or just not even be in the bridge, be part of that movement to understand. But here again, we have our history rewritten, and it's going to be retold. And if you look at those folks who are reprogramming and retelling you what stuff is also those folks who are directing your path right now. So it's not really a jubilee. And I don't go down no more. I just go to the anniversary, but I don't go down no more because they have watered it down and played such a game with it that it's and it's for our next generation who really don't understand and make them think there's something wrong. Someone may take something wrong. We had to fight when they was trying to change the Edmund Pettus Bridge because some of our white brothers and sisters decided that it wasn't good psychologically for us. And some of us who was on the bridge in Selma, we fought it. So then they went from Bloody Sunday to Jubilee. A bridge crossing. I got some calls yesterday from, you know, some of my friends in Alabama. They thought I was coming down. I asked, well, y'all going to listen? We're not going to no Jubilee. I said, I'm not coming. You don't have to worry about me coming. And then I talked to another one, told me, said they call it the bridge crossing, and they weren't going. It's just terrible. It's and I understand that I think Harris going down there today for what, I don't know. Get her picture taken too, I guess. It's really sad. I just get tired of us getting prostituted, y'all. It's been 58 years. And most of the stuff we took that we had to endure, these folks won't do it. Because if they really respected and cared about that fight, there are things they would be doing for our community right now. And out of every race or everybody in this country, the black American child is the most messed up and the most disrespected. And it's led by those who say that they believe. It's really funny. I think she should stay away from Selma. If she's not taking no dollars down there to fix it up and all the other stuff, stay away. I'm going to have I had JT last year, y'all remember. But I'm going to have him back on at 7 o'clock hour. Because we're going to be talking about Selma and the shape that it's in. I was down there when Barack lined all the folks up to go across the bridge so he could have a shot for his historical piece. Just looked at him. But after that was over with, he left and never went back and sent resources back to Selma. Joe Biden went last year. And, you know, each one of them, the people who was very involved in the movement was told they couldn't be there when he was marched. He would, I think, now when I was down there, Barack wanted Diane to be up on the stage with him, which he went. I didn't want to go on the stage with Barack. And when I got there, the people said, George, right. And, of course, not that I care. I wasn't one of the ones he chose to be on that land. But it didn't matter to me because I was on Edmund Pettus Bridge. Diane was in Selma, but she went on Edmund Pettus Bridge. And it was all right with me because her whole thought pattern was the reason why we was in Selma in the first place. But I'm telling you, a mindset of the 50-year anniversary, that's when everybody was doing and going. Oprah made a movie about Selma, and she put so many fictitious things in there. And those of us who was there, even Viola Uso's children, her daughter at least, the way they played Viola Uso, like she was just giving out a sandwich and those other things, we just looked at it. It was so untrue, but children, but that's what folks going to look at when they look. But after all that was over and PR was over, folks left. And all the surrounding counties and all, so much stuff can be done. But nobody, after they prostitute and use our movement, do anything down there. And that's why I'm going to have JT on, because he's now working, trying to totally develop and sell more. And I say I'm going to have a lot of black elected officials, but Selma have a very low poverty rate. So when you look at the poverty rate of Selma, and even surrounding counties, then you understand. But nobody does anything. And it's not just Selma. So that's what I want to talk about today, y'all, because I'm going to talk about Bloody Sunday a lot at 7 o'clock hour. First of all, I'll give you an update in a minute on Dr. Anderson. But I want to talk about those who reap the educational, political, and economic benefit of our movement and what they're doing to our children and to the little housewife that's sitting at home or to the folks who are looking for something negative. What they're doing to them is a shame. All day long, they feed them lies and hate. And they tell them to hate white folks. And I laugh. I mean, Whoopi, God bless her, so I have nothing against her. But she's the authority on what people should be thinking. And folks listen and say, Whoopi said that. And all these talk shows. And I think what kind of get me upset is they keep our people in a mindset that we never was in before. It was this TV and all this other stuff that got our folks docile and upset, scared, violent, believing there's no hope. They serve up the no hope platter every day. Now, this is a lie now. I was looking at CNN last night, maybe one of the other days, and I saw this white professor on. And he was talking about the most racist people in the South and blah, 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 and all that other stuff. And they're this and they're that. They're Christians, nationalism, and they this. They fly the flag. Oh, look at this man. That's to make you upset because it's a dog whistle from what was yesterday. But that's not the South I know. The South I know is that the parents are trying to put their children in school and they're reading. And they when you go down there, you see them working. It's the North that's messed up. Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, New York, all these northern cities. And we need to say, you can't have, you know, we charge you with genocide. Well, the genocide is the what they're doing to our children's mind. It's a terrible thing. I'm gonna find it again. Brianna's gonna find it. You know, mind is a terrible thing to waste. What they're doing to our children's mind. This week I'm gonna have a lot of black folks in the medical profession this month talking about how few and what little what black folks is going into this profession. But to destroy a black child's mind and to take away hope, I don't believe that there's somebody, because systemic racism and white supremacists is keeping them back. And most of these folks who are preaching this, their children, if they have any, some of them don't, go to private school. They live in white communities. And they don't visit the communities or the people who are watching their shows. I was talking to one of my civil rights friends down south yesterday. Because sometimes we get together, we just talk. At different times, we just talk, really, because the pain we feel. And one of them told me, said, you know, Dada, we got money. Our people got money. We open up doors, and all these folks ran in and got all that money. The problem is they don't put none back in our community. And it's true. And I've told y'all, those who they're going to celebrate Bloody Sunday, they're going to talk. There's no way Whoopi, who any of these other folks would have been on TV. And now LeBron James tried to do something in his hometown with the schools and stuff. I'll just put that to the side for a minute and see what's going on. Well, he tried to do something in Cleveland. I don't have to get a status thing on that. But when you look at all of this money, it's mine. I do what I want to. I'm going to go spend it, and I'm going to develop the white community, and I'm going to make sure that I have me a business over there, and I'm going to make sure they know I'm just as good as they are. Well, of course you are, but you're a fool because you over there in their mess. The only one in this country that's doing that. Nobody else is doing that. And it's because they was oppressed and depressed for so long. I'm going to get mad. Do you realize there's no reason why black children cannot read and we don't have businesses in housing to develop housing complex? Why to have developed co-ops and stuff? All that money that folks within the black community is making now, and doors that was open because of things like Bloody Sunday or because of Fannie Lou Hamer, because of Malcolm, because of Dr. all the folks you don't even know, Leon Hall, because of all the people who gave. Because you know y'all was up there scratching when you weren't itching and laughing when it wasn't funny to white folks. Glad to be on the basketball team, glad to be on. You know, Jackie Robinson took a lot when he did it. But you know what was so funny? Joe Louis came back to rebuild the community, Joe Louis Milk and all the other stuff. It was all of those people who did get something before our civil rights bill passed. They brought something home. But these folks run as far away from us as possible. Now, let me tell you something. I think people should live anywhere they want to. I'm not knocking them living next to white folks, green folks, or purple folks. But they have a responsibility to rebuild. And I think what bothers me is that there's no connection. They don't feel a connection between that movement and the station that they're in right now. And it's because people are rewriting the history. They're rewriting it, and they're going on about their business. And then they begin to look down on our people, worse than the so-called people they call systemic racism and all that other stuff. It's not emulating from the South. It's right here. Go to a black school, children can't read. I spoke to a class at the University of Chicago Monday, and I just told them the truth. Them little young white kids were so happy to hear the truth. And then one of them came up to me after and said, "Miss Tillman," I said, "Yeah, I know you're right." Because one of them said, "What you think the most important thing for your community now?" I said, "Economic and education." Because you have economic education, that builds around a lot of other things. That builds family and structure. He said, I didn't want to ask you this loud, but I tutor over here." And he was talking about those children he's tutoring. 7th, 8th grade student can't even read past 3rd grade. So when you said that struck home. I just want to tell you. He said, "These children can't read. They can't. It's a sin. It's genocide." But I guess it's Trump's fault. And if you look at everything that we had in this country, when you look at the Civil Rights Bill, the Voting Rights Bill, look at the votes. They say, I mean, Republicans had to go in there to get it passed. Y'all love Biden. He went against everything he was for us. But I'm not telling you, because nonviolence, so you don't get mad at the person getting fight the injustice. And I'm not trying to tell you who and what to go for. But as long as they keep you hyped up, and now I woke up this morning, it's not Trump TV. It's about who shot, who did this, systemic racism, and nobody, don't call everybody coming. They can't. They think something because somebody can sit it to them every day. Them same folks who don't come near your community. And the people who do come to your community, you listen to them. Because they're on TV every day. There's a danger. So as I was preparing for Bloody Sunday, and I'm going to have somebody at 7 o'clock, and, you know, when I was talking to Dr. Anderson last week, and he's kind of worried about us, and he told me, he said, "Hey, buddy," that's what he called me, my buddy. He said, "Kind of worried about you." I said, "I'm going to be all right." He said, "Can't leave you, my buddy." He said, "Because I don't know." He said, "I hope they get those books so they can learn, because but they are bought into this whole quote-unquote migration mess and economic." He said, "They need to learn upside down." He went through a whole little thing with me, so I remember that. So he's resting right now, trying to recover. I talked to his wife last night. But I think about people like Anderson when they get sick, almost about to get up out there, and I think about Ogletree, I think about all the folks who really gave, or those who are already gone, or those who near gone. And then you look at those. See, people got an off, they got elected, anointed, or appointed, and they thought that because those doors was open, it was for them to come rich or come this and become that. And they never, ever understood or didn't give a damn. So, you know, it pained me when I see certain things. Like I said, I like Whoopi. I don't have no problem with her. But every day on The View, she spit out these lies and all this mess, and these women be listening. You don't never hear nothing positive about you can make it, you can do it, you need to do this, you need to get your kids in school. It's a whole lot of stuff they can be playing. I heard that Sunshine lady, whatever she said the other day, she thought it was cute to say that her family owns a slave. She's the ancestor of a family who owns slaves because she's mixed. That wasn't cute to me. And everybody laughing. So we can, you know, I don't want to get on this show every week and try to give you gloom and doom. I'd be trying to encourage you. I was looking at the paper. Because, see, they keep you so crazy that you don't have time to look at what we need to be doing. You ain't got, you just put them kids' clothes on and send them to school. Or you go to, can't even go to McDonald's no more, high as it is. Or folks don't have businesses. They got, they back to beg. We got to beg these folks when they use our tax dollars to get a contract. And then some of them, when they get it, they run and they think they better. So we're in a dual situation here. I was looking at the plan that Prixter was not funding for the, well, they're in a discussion with Johnson with about the stadium. Now, y'all better look at who's going to be building that stadium. And ain't nobody asked the question yet. Related realtors going to be building them. Aren't they the one that own that old block over there on State Street? And I left my paper at home. I wrote down all about this man. He's from I think Argentina somewhere. They're billionaires. They got a lot of money now. And they got offices everywhere. They're out in New York. We got all these foreign, these folks coming here building. And nobody's saying, okay, how many black folks are you going to hire or who's going to partner with you to get this contract? No, y'all too busy hating Trump or listening to systemic racism. That's the racism. That's economic systemic racism. Or who's going to be in charge of your shit? They talking about billions of dollars and a developer that have it. That's what I'm talking about. The developer who have the contract, well, he got an office here, but he got an office in Miami. He out of Miami. He got all that stuff. I think, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he was the one in Parkway Garden. Didn't he own Parkway Garden? And he, I think, I'm not, don't y'all quote me now, but I'm going to have to go back and look that up. But the billions of dollars. And I start reading that stuff. And it was no black person in there to be with them. That's because one of the things is that, one of the things, we don't have vocational training, we're not doing construction. They're going to get this, and then they're going to have all these folks that's coming over there who do construction work, and you're going to still be begging, which I tried to talk about last week, but I can't go back into it. When I put together the African-American home builders, it's because I got tired of the black folks begging American home builders to just get in them, get one little house or two little houses in the black community. It makes no sense. Well, before the Civil Rights Bill, it was very few, the Voting Rights Bill, it was very few people in the public office. we got a whole lot of folks in public office. And as I was looking up stuff, we're worst off. And as I was looking at the whole economic piece after the movement, we're worst off. Now, I got friends who tell me that integration did this. And we have a discussion. I was on a panel with that. It was not desegregation that destroyed us. It was those who reaped the benefit and ran away. Because we are America. We built this country. We have a right to the resources. But if those who reaped it, you should be able to do anything you want. Those who reaped it had came back and helped rebuild and reinvest in our community. They are more responsible for the shape that these black communities are in than any systemic white man. Now, you got people in the city, you got people in the state, and they arguing about whether they want to give this money to a related developer. Billions of dollars. Now, they're not talking about, now one thing Prixton said was he wanted to see the benefit. Well, Prixton, what I want to tell you is tell their butt that they got a partner with some black folks, and they got to have so many black folks on the job. Black Caucus and the city council should be saying the same. Springfield on there with Welch while he's running around there messing with Mary Flowers. You need to be looking at this contract. I mean, that's just one, y'all. That's one of billions. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. So stop talking about what we did. Hurt the community, hurt this. It's those, and I tell y'all, it's on the phone half of the night. It was those people, I was talking to some of the folks who really worked hard in the primary for Harold. I mean, them brothers, they worked, and they took beats and everything else. And a lot of other folks was hiding, scared to wear the buttons. And I was talking to one of them about it. I said, you know, after y'all shook the apples down, the cowards grabbed them, and when we got in the general, they ran and made themselves available to then make policy and make decisions and be part of Harold's staff. And when they did that, they was worse to y'all than it was before. So it's a pattern. It's a dog whistle. Somebody told me, say, Dorothy, I don't know. They was talking about Johnson. Well, you know, talking about us. You know, we get black folks in office. We don't think we hold their feet to the fire. We got to help that brother, you know, Harry Hippie, you know. So I'm in one of those moods. Worrying about my brother, Dr. Anderson, and looking at our movement. And most of the folks got it so wrong, they rewriting it. I mean, I asked, when I came back from Selma, I asked the President Obama, what are you going to do for Selma? Folks got mad at me. They want me to leave him alone. Why? He did all that stuff for them gays and Hispanics and all them folks. I asked, my thing is to Biden. You went down last week. What you going to do? Kamala, they really don't care about it. It's symbolic. And I think that's what bothers me. Kamala getting ready to go down. It's because it's election time. Go down there and take it. Hey, she don't care because most of these folks have their allegiance to two countries. The native blacks, as Dr. Anderson say, their allegiance is to America. The rest of these folks have two allegiance. They vote in two countries. They have two allegiance there, Khalib and all of them. They don't know. Khalib now all of a sudden says she wants to give out some dollars for some homeless. She don't care about them folks in Detroit. She's fighting for other country. It's a lot of stuff. We have to, and we don't put, I tell you one example. After the Anita Hill saga, my liberal friends in the North went and got on. Carol LaRoy, their little darling, their little black darling. But of course, now remember that these northern folks who keep telling you about systemic racism are the ones who keep picking your leaders. They picked our president. They picked Carol when she was a senator. They're in charge of all this political operation, the school boards and how they land out the, what you should do. They're in charge of all the country. They're in charge of all this stuff. Now, who's a systemic racist? So they put Carol in, and she thought she was with her friend. I worked my butt off to keep Carol in for that Senate. Every one of them, all them white women voted against her. She was in a state of shock. I looked at her, I said, why are you in a state of shock? Well, I'm just surprised. Why are you surprised? Because when she was in there, all her dirty work was done for them. She didn't. We went up fighting for her for the CHA, fighting for her this. She the one passed that thing for 14-year-old and all that stuff. And they set her up, and the only folks supported her was black folks. And they did it because she was black. But they used her as those useful idiots. We're going to put her in right now and we take her out. They put their people in. Their people stay in forever. Don't you ever forget that. It's really deep. There's no reason. Billions of dollars going to be building the stadium. Ain't nobody raising a question about black folks. Talk of Chicago, 69 at Vivian. Our number is 773-591-69. We're streaming live at www.vivian.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Take us wherever you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook and on Blog Talk. We're going to have JT on with me later. And we are talking about Bloody Sunday. And I have to do more than one day on the history of it. Because it wouldn't be nothing without James Bevel, and you cannot leave him out, and we have to talk about that too. Get your, I don't have enough time. Get your coffee. Get your tea. I'm going in here and find something on Bevel and come on back and talk to me. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org, but you're probably not going to. Nope, I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work, I get it, you're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners. The following message is brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
The inherent right to work is one of the elemental privileges of a free people. Endowed as our nation is with abundant physical resources, and inspired as it should be with the high purpose to make those resources and opportunities available for the enjoyment of all, we approach this problem of re-employment with the real hope of finding a better answer than we have now.
Your stuff can be more powerful than you think. Your stuff can be a resource for change. Donate to Goodwill, where your donations help fund job placement and training for people in your community. Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, biking, fishing, or camping. Or do your own thing when you get there with family and friends. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
Searching for help with Dachshund Reading.
How can I help my daughter with her reading?
information on hot water heating.
No. Sarah's bright, but when she's reading, she has trouble sounding out the words.
World music, playing track now.
No.
Let me try. Our daughter gets confused about which details in a story are important.
Which paper towels are most absorbent?
What?
Here are five product reviews.
Why are you not getting me?
See, I told you.
Wait, I was trying to show you how Sarah feels every day. Frustrating, isn't it? Redirecting to understood.org.
For the one in five kids with learning and attention issues, this is what life can feel like. Explore understood.org, a free online resource about learning and attention issues, designed to help your child thrive in school and in life. Understood.org, because understanding is everything.
Brought to you by understood.org and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
We back, y'all. We back on Bloody Sunday Day, a commemoration that we should always commemorate, and we should always tell. Am I on? Is my light on? Okay, and we should always tell our children. I carried my granddaughter. I try to tell my children. In fact, I'll be going back down there soon. I'm just waiting on my brother to get through. I carried my granddaughter, Jamoke. I had to speak down there to a group of children, youth. So I carried her to all of the monuments. The folks up here, they tearing out stuff up here. They ain't let them tear down nothing down there. And showed her different stuff. And I took her to the bridge to get her a lot of stuff so she could understand what really happened. I showed her the river. On the right side, Alabama, on the left side. Right side, Alabama River, left side, Alabama River. Behind us, the feet, and in front of us was the dealing with them state troopers. And just walked around and showed her all of the different stuff from my perspective. Because she knew that I had a foot soldier medallion, that on the 50th anniversary, all of us who was part of the foot soldiers in Selma and who was on that bridge, and the foot soldiers got a medallion. That's the time I tell you I was down there, and they had had your president down there. Hey, I don't want to on the front line. It's all right with me. It didn't matter to me. I don't want to be next to him no way. You want to die in? He got some other folks he's organizing. I wasn't even going there when he was. I said, I'm going on back. And I went. I got a copy of that, too. I had about 500 people waiting to hear me speak at one of the churches and with a lot of other foot soldiers. And I don't think no foot soldier was on that front line because they didn't want the medallion showing because people like to rewrite history. But we must tell our children the truth. And we got to prepare them to get this gloom and doom. Everything. You can't do nothing. These folks have got to... Well, don't get mad about education. Don't get mad about here these contracts. Don't get mad about nothing. Just stay there all day and just be sick. Anybody going to talk to you all day long, every day, and never tell you nothing that you can do? How you can become something, get away from them. Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON, our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.wbon.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Check us out. You go. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and we're on Blog Talk, and we are praying for Dr. Anderson. And then talked to him. I talked to his wife. Talked to him last week. And last he was listening. He was listening. And as we can say, he was saying that, just tell them to get the classes, powernomic.com. And please don't let these illegal immigrants and all these no-good leaders take them over the cliff. He said, Dorothy, I'm really worried. I said, God is on our side. We got to, like, don't worry. Don't worry. Just don't worry. But I'm worried, too, but I'm not worried. Okay? Powernomic.com, get the classes, pray for him. He's recovering. Oh. Just pray for him and Joanne. Okay? That's all I can say. I can't say no more. Let me go to Craig. Craig.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Tillman. How are you?
I'm fine, Craig.
Okay, good. This is Chris. Chris.
She got Craig up there.
Yeah, so, of course.
You say your name Chris?
This is Chris, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, prayers to, you know, Mr. Anderson and his family. He meant a lot to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, shows like The View has a slant. But, man, you should see watch Fox and Newsmax. They have a slump.
I don't care about them right now. I'm talking about the positive part.
Right.
Or anybody. I'm talking about our people don't watch those. Our people watch CNN, MSNBC, and that. I'm saying
actually, blacks have one of the largest viewerships.
You probably gave her name, Craig, or you thought I was gonna put your butt on hold. Go on now.
No, ma'am.
Go on.
Come on.
I ain't got 5 minutes. Tell me, Chris.
My question is,
I have a question. Okay, why don't you question? Because they might already.
My question is, I've called the show like 3 or 4 weeks straight, and I just asked you, why do you think the verdict against Trump for the $455 million?
I believe, Chris. What? That's why I gave you the wrong name, Chris. I'm not gonna answer you because see, I'm trying to talk about people giving up their life. I'm talking about our education, talking about contracts. Are you sure they ain't paying you to listen to my show to do that bullshit, that mess? You know, David.
Yeah, good morning, Mrs. Still.
Good morning. I mean, my God.
Yeah. Thank you for your efforts on the Pettibus Bridge. Did I say that right?
Edmund Pettus Bridge, yes, sir.
Yeah. Ms. Tillman, can you actually describe, were you there?
Yes, sir.
Can you give me just a little detail, actually, what really happened, what was going on?
On the bridge of why we was marching. I'm gonna tell you later on why we was marching. Well, Jimmy Lee Jackson, and I'll tell you a little about that later, because I'm going to play a little clip from Bevel. But we were responding to the fact that they had shot Jimmy Lee Jackson, and he died a few days later.
Okay.
And because we had just been going back and forth to the courthouse, and they when they shot him, he took a bullet for his mother. And so Jim Bevel, Reverend James Bevel, said, "We're gonna take this coffin, and we're gonna take it and put it on Wallace's right at the Capitol on his steps." And
okay.
You can look up Jimmy Lee Jackson, JIMMIE. They buried him in a slave grave. There's a lot of stuff on Jimmy Lee Jackson. I wish y'all look. And so they decided to bury him, and we'll just go without the body but still go to Montgomery. And the different waves that was going, Jose Williams was leading the march on behalf of SCLC. John Lewis, who was with SNCC, had given over his leadership, I think, to Stokely, and SNCC didn't want to march with us. But John Lewis put his toothbrushes out, and all he got right with Jose. Jose was leading the march on behalf of SCLC. He got beat up bad. So he marched there to show that unity. And usually what happens, they don't beat the first half, David. They let you get halfway across. I was back toward the back, toward the middle, to try to hold the crowd together. That was my job. But they started beating folks at the front, and it went crazy. So that's what happened.
And then still, one more question. Jimmy Lee Jackson basically started with him. Was he an activist or something like that?
It didn't start with him. We were there fighting. I'll talk about it more later because I want to.
Oh, okay.
The voter registration did not start with him. We decided to go across that bridge after they shot him. He was a young man who came out of the service. He took a bullet for his mother. Look it up and look up Jimmy Lee Jackson, and I'll try to explain a little bit more on the other side. I don't know. It's so much. I'm going to take this more than one day. But no, he was his. We didn't use the word activist. That came on later. We were fighting for freedom. That's what we called it.
Okay.
You know, youth and the young folks and black folks fighting for freedom. One, no activism. That came on later so they can add something else. We were fighting for the liberation and freedom of black people.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. That's good. Hey, can I get a little James Brown? Let's get it together now if it's possible later on.
I'll see. You got yourself. I'll see. Okay. I'll see.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Reggie.
Hey, good morning, Mrs. Alderman Tillman, Mrs. Tillman.
Good morning.
You have referred to Senator Carol Mosley Brown. I love her. I love you. I love her.
Oh, I love Carol, too. I was talking about them folks, how they...
No, but it just sounds like something was kind of hurting my feelings, you know?
Okay, baby, let me just say, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I worked so hard. When they put Carol Bruns in there, she believed in them. I was trying to tell you how they turned their backs on her. They turned their backs. She carried their water when she was a senator, and she was in there. And them folks, all she gave them everything. And I said, Carol, I don't know about this. And I worked my butt off until the end of that night. They walked away. I'm saying these same folks who always selected our folks, they put her there and she believed them. And the white women and all walked away from her. I was trying to tell a story. No, I love Carol. Carol is my friend.
Yeah. Well, I don't know that. I don't know Senator Carol Mosley Brown personally, but I love and respect her. And it just like kind of hurt my feelings there, you know?
No. I love and respect her, too, but right is right.
Reggie,
they did have a Reggie, go ahead.
You have the floor.
They had her to carry a couple of bills that she later apologized for. Okay?
Now, let me say one more thing.
I'm here. Hurry up.
No, she made them take down a Confederate flag, didn't she?
Yeah, I know that, but I'm talking about some other stuff, okay? Look it up. Look at all her bills and stuff. That ain't got nothing to do. You know, that's what we think. We can't discuss what's wrong and what's right. We think we have to hit each other. We do that. Of course she did. She came after them, but look at some other stuff. But they came after her. You missed the whole point, so you want to argue. I'm saying that they turned their
backs. I'm not trying to argue with you.
No, I know. I'm not necessarily you. They turned their backs on her. She thought they turned their backs on her. They didn't go back and help her. After she thought them, we stayed with her in spite of a couple of bills she carried for them. They walked away, and that's how they do us. That's all I was trying to say, Reggie. Now, I have a lot of love and respect for girl, too, but I know what she do and what she don't do, and she did apologize for what she did wrong. Lewis.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman.
Good morning.
Ms. Tillman, I heard you say take it to the bridge. Can you do the camel walk?
My Calero told me the camel walk.
Remember James Brown used to say, back up and do the camel walk?
Yeah, my auntie a long time ago told me the camel walk.
Yeah. Hey, that's when, Ms. Tillman, you said that they trying to rewrite our history.
They are rewriting it.
Ms. Tillman, they're not trying to rewrite our history. They are erasing us out of history.
Well,
and
I agree with you. I take that. I accept that, Lewis.
Because, Ms. Tillman, they erase who we are. I don't know what's on your birth certificate, but on my birth certificate is the word Negro.
That's on mine, too.
For ethnicity and race. And they, Barack Obama, erased that word out of off all federal laws in May of 2016, the same time that Dr. Claude Anderson had that lawsuit on behalf of the Indians when that treaty of 1866, when that decision came through on December of 2016.
What I'm gonna do is address a lot of that stuff, not this day, because I got folks coming next week, about all the things that those people we put in place. We were able to push those white people in place against stuff that would come with us. Then we were our own folks. All the people we had in place, they would not support what Dr. Anderson was doing except Maxine Waters. And also, when they would even, they just do that. They'd be up there. They want to talk about Tulsa. They had a chance to do something. They didn't do it. Now they want to celebrate. Thank you, Lewis.
Okay.
Yeah, they. You know, I remember. I'm going to talk about it, not today, but I made notes because we're going to have to talk about that for one moment. We're going to have to talk about it. Cliff.
Hey, Ms. Dorothy, thank you. I just want to highlight some of the good points that you made and end with a question. Mm-hmm. This is our land. We built this.
Yes.
But yet we're still fighting for equal rights back then when you march. And even till today, we're still fighting for equality.
Close.
So my point is, and my question,
Cliff, because those who reap the education, the political, and the economic benefit have betrayed us, our own people. The systemic racism, all that stuff come from our people who've been led by other folks outside of our community.
Well, let me end with this, Ms. Dorothy. You might be upset. What I'm saying to you
is that— You always make me upset.
Right, but what I'm saying is that, listen, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior— But maybe, just maybe, Christianity might be harming us.
No,
and I'm
hanging up
closing.
On you. No,
listen,
because Christianity is not harming us. Christianity is not harming us. Nobody talk about Jesus and stuff more than all of it, Lewis and Farrakhan. So, nope, you ain't going to talk about my religious clip. I knew you was going to get there. Talk of Chicago 69. Y'all got a few, I got a few lines open. Talk of Chicago 69 at VOA number 773-591-69. We're streaming live. www.voa.com. We're on our Heart Radio. Check us up. You go be on Facebook, group Facebook. Keep your eyes on the prize. We'll be right back, y'all. 7 o'clock. Be right back. Call for you in the conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Till. I'm right in the Great Chicago. VON.
And I'm Mimi Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is apologizing for his handling of his hospital stay last month. While testifying before the House Armed Services Committee, Austin said his duties were taken care of.
There was never any lapse in authorities or in command and control. At all times, either I or the Deputy Secretary was in a position to conduct the duties of my office.
Austin suffered complications from surgery for prostate cancer and was hospitalized in January. He faced sharp criticism after it was revealed neither his own deputy nor the White House were notified of his hospitalization for several days. Republicans have called for his resignation.
The FBI conducting a search at the Bronx home of a top aide to New York Mayor Eric Adams. Winnie Greco is Director of Asian Affairs, and the search follows a November raid when electronics belonging to Adams were seized from the Brooklyn home of Breonna Suggs, the mayor's campaign consultant and top fundraiser. Federal authorities have been investigating the mayor's fundraising involving a Brooklyn-based construction company that reportedly donated about $14,000 to his 2021 campaign. And Greco is under a probe by the city's Department of Investigation over her government job, which is a referral from Adams. A spokesperson for the mayor says the mayor has not been accused of any wrongdoing.
A lawsuit is settled with police in Bridgewater Township, New Jersey, who were in hot water 2 years ago after officers handcuffed a black teen at a local mall. A viral video shows Akai Hussein having a physical altercation with another teen who appeared to have a lighter complexion. And when police responded, two officers tackled Hussein and placed him in handcuffs as the other teen sat watching on a nearby bench. The video sparked protests. Black leaders demanded the officers be relieved of their duties, and the Hussein family filed a lawsuit against the city alleging discrimination. NJ.com reports court documents revealed the family received just over $150,000.
And venture capital for black startups has plummeted dramatically. Data from tech research firm Crunchbase shows for the first time since 2016, support fell below $1 billion last year to about $705 million. The 71% decline was significantly more than the 37% drop in combined venture capital dollars invested in 2023 as the market retracted. Black Enterprise reports the figures also reflect salaries of black founders last year were over $300 million less than previous years.
All right, well, those who keep unused sauces from Chick-fil-A might want to toss some of their stash. The company is telling customers to trash any Polynesian dipping sauces that were taken home between February 14th through February 27th because of allergy concerns. According to a notice on Chick-fil-A's website, a different sauce containing wheat and soy allergens might be in the dipping cups. I'm Terry McCready along with Mimi Brown on your home for 24/7 News, the Black Information Network.
Catherine Dunham.
Judith Jamerson.
Debbie Allen.
During Women's History Month, we speak your name. We're WVON.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. Nothing is everything. With SkyRizzy, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And SkyRizzy is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizzy. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweat, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to SkyRizzy, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about SkyRizzy, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
Greetings, family. Salim Muwakil here. Please join me on the Salim Muwakil Show every Saturday evening from 7 to 10 o'clock and experience the growth of your mind muscles in real time. Check us out.
Salim Muwakil, Saturdays at 7 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
This is Reverend Dr. Otis Moss III at Trinity United Church of Christ, located at 400 West 95th Street on the south side of Chicago. We invite you to worship here at Trinity United Church of Christ. We have 3 worship services, 7:30 a.m., 11 a.m., and 6 p.m. Or join us on WVON during our broadcast every Sunday at 6 p.m. WVON.
She is the mother of black radio. Here's the founder and chairwoman of Urban One, Kathy Hughes.
This is Reality Radio.
Well, it is now March, which brings us the changing of seasons. March brings us spring and daylight savings time, a revitalization of life, a fresh and intentional start to new birth, new directions, and new priorities. The reality is 2024 provides us opportunity to change the narrative and move the needle. When the founders of this nation wrote that, quote, "The purpose of government is to create a more perfect union," end of quote. It was an admission that America had flaws, but through the election of the best candidates, our country could be improved. So this March, let's spring into identifying the candidates who will best represent our needs, who will champion our causes, and who will remain loyal to our priorities. Investigate the candidates you might even have heard the most about. Find out exactly what they have actually done to create a more perfect union.
This is Reality Radio with Kathy Hughes. What's your reality? What's your reality? What's your reality?
It's your gospel sister, Pam Morris-Walton. Join me every Sunday on God's favorite radio station, WVON, 11 to 2 p.m. with good gospel and inspirational music. It'll make your day. That's your gospel sister, Pam Morris-Walton. Sundays, 11 to 2 p.m. on 1690, The Talk of Chicago, WVON.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to SkyRizzy, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With SkyRizzy, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And SkyRizzy is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizzy. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweat, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to SkyRizzy, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Your doctor today about SkyRizzy, the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
It's time to focus with Robert McKay. Quality conversation, protecting, preserving, and preparing our past, present, and future. Sunday evenings at 4 p.m. on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go, like hiking, biking, fishing, or camping. Or do your own thing when you get there with family and friends. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org. That's discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
WBOM 1450.
Live from Xfinity Studios, celebrating 60 years, it's the icon of American radio, WBOM Berlin, Chicago.
It's Dorothy Tillman on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBOM.
The present has brought us facing the rising sun of new safety eager. Let us march on till victory is won.
Come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made
what I got next.
Ugly and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Ha! But I want to get the language right tonight.
Right! Get the language right. That's what I'm talking about. We said education political benefit of our movement.
So right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
Yes, I'm going to talk for a minute. I'm going to talk for a second. Yes, I'm proud. Hold it for a second. Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and I'm beautiful. We are back. Talk of Chicago, 69 WVN. I'm at 773-591-69. We're streaming live, www.viewing.com. We're on iHeartRadio. Check us out if you go. We're on Facebook. We're on group Facebook. We're all over the world. Coffee, tea, and a conversation with Dorothy right here. Tillman right here, the great WVON. And we are talking about them. They talking about, we said Bloody Sunday. They talking about bridge crossing. We're really talking. I'm going to have JT Johnson is going to be my guest today. And that's what we're talking about. So we're getting into it, y'all. But this is somebody, Bevel, you must hear him. I've worked on the Bevel, JT worked on the Jose. But we all worked together on the, for the liberation and freedom of black folks. Now, what you're going to hear now is Jim Bevel, right? Okay. I think y'all need to hear him.
Gandhi, when you have, a great violation of the people, and there's a great sense of injury, you have to give people a honorable means and context in which to express and eliminate that grief and speak decisively and succinctly back to the issue. Otherwise, your movement will break down in violence and chaos.
As a response to Jimmie Lee Jackson's death, SPLC proposed a symbolic march that would begin in Selma and travel 54 miles to the capital in Montgomery.
So agreeing to go to Montgomery was that kind of tool that would absorb a tremendous amount of energy and effort, and it would keep the issue of disenfranchisement before the whole nation. And the whole point was of walking from Selma to Montgomery, it'd take you 5 to 6 days, and which would give you the time to discuss in the nation through the papers, radio, television, and going around speaking what the real issues were.
Governor Wallace was determined that the march would not take place.
Okay, I wanted y'all to hear a little of that. Play it. And then I'll break JT in. I'm going to finish elaborating on that at another time, but I just want y'all to hear Jim Bevel, the architect of all of this. Ain't going to let nobody turn us around. Then I'm going to bring in JT. Ain't going to let nobody turn us around. Come on.
No, keep on walking. Keep on talking. Marching up the freedom land. Ain't gonna let no day out.
Y'all, but the movement period. I know JT on the pattern of feet. Keep on a talk. We know about that. Don't let no Billy Club, no jailhouse, nobody. Turn around. That's the determination as a people we have to be. That's what I mean by nobody's talking about what we gotta do.
Keep on talking,
marching up. All right, all right, all right. Bring it down a little bit and bring me JT. Hey, JT. JT, how you doing there, my brother?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, my brother. How did you like here?
Yeah.
How did you like here in Bevel?
I love it. I love James Bevel.
Yeah, he laid it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was trying to find something on Jose, but I found a nice speech I'm going to play during the it's really sad I'm going to do on Dr. King's the assassination, but I thought they need to hear that from Bevel. I've been talking this morning, JT, about all the stuff we did and the you need some water?
Oh, no, me, I'm fine.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. All the stuff and all we put through and, You know, those who reap the education, the political, and the economic benefits, how they did us. I've been on panels where folks say our movement messed up the community. I said, no, it's those who reaped who messed it up. They didn't come back and rebuild. And
that's the gospel.
Huh?
I said, that's the truth.
Mm-hmm. So what I was, okay, so, and I was telling them, you know, there's no reason. We have more resources and more dollars than ever before we open those doors, those folks ran for us. So what I really want to talk about today, and I might take a few calls too, JJ, what I want to talk about today is that, now I know you went back to Selma, you down there trying to rebuild that town or help bring that town up. Am I correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. Well, let's first of all talk about Selma and then go into what you're trying to do and how all these people come down there. What you say they call it now? The bridge crossing?
No, the Jubilee.
What's Jubilee about that mess?
Well, I don't know. It's a gathering they have every year, but it's nothing really. It doesn't. Well, it's kind of sad. It's hard to have something in Selma because people come there from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the hotel is a Hilton Hotel, but it's not a Hilton Hotel. Let's put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere to, no nice restaurants or anything. There's nothing there for you. You know, I understand that school teachers have to have apartments in Montgomery who teaches in Selma. That's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they could build that beloved community.
Yeah.
And have a teachers at school and their children, all of them living in the same community.
Right.
And those are the things that we are projecting to them or talking to them about, how we can make that happen. We
mm-hmm.
can make this the city that Martin Luther King spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not only just Selma. You know, we say Selma. People don't understand that we dealt with counties, Dallas County, Perry County, Marengo County, all that stuff.
That's right.
All
the
around
black belt
there.
We talking
that
about.
Black belt, which all around
right.
there. And there's money available through the black community to develop economically and all to do that. That's what I just don't. They're going to come and get their pictures, and they're going to march and go on back and leave it messed up. So I really applaud you for being out trying to do what you're getting ready trying to do.
Well, you know, Martin Luther King said that we had to revisit the cities that we'd worked in
mm-hmm.
and find out how was the people doing there. I didn't go back to Selma until the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, I saw you there.
And I shed tears because Selma looked worse then than it did when we was over there in 1965.
You're right.
And I didn't like that. So, and I said, well, you know, like we could do something about it. So I went back over there and started some conversation and talking with some people, and they began to understand what I was talking about. I said two things. Selma, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia are two very special places in this world
mm-hmm.
for African-American people.
In Montgomery.
And Montgomery, mm-hmm. yeah. So there's some special places. There's some mm-hmm. special cities. So we have to treat Selma like that. But first, the people in Selma have to believe that it is special.
Yeah, but you know
and
what?
And they have to want to do it.
Right.
And that's where we fall out, is that, you know, we cannot put our arms around how important we are, or how important Selma, Alabama is. Well, we was promised the right to vote anyway. We didn't get it, but we was promised it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to revisit it every 25 years at the Supreme Court. Everybody's
you know,
involved.
But all those folks who got in office look like they don't even understand what they need to do. You know, go on. Now.
Well, I don't think they heard Martin Luther King Jr. You know, Dr. King said that was in Utah, Alabama, that mm-hmm. we was getting ready to elect Reverend Branch and Gilmore.
Uh-huh.
He said, I want to make a fair play. This is an extension of the civil rights movement.
Right, right.
That's all it is. It's not a celebrity job. It's not this and it's not that. It's an extension. So we
yeah.
must treat it just like that.
Yeah.
But I don't think that happened anywhere.
Uh-huh.
I think people really became important people. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we tend to want to, I don't know.
I understand. I want my audience, people listening all over the country and outside the country.
But, you know, let me tell you this, what I think. You know, the only thing African-Americans have is lots of money. They load it across this country. But the one thing they're afraid of is to be independent. I've been working like hell trying to set up a meeting with some of the athletes, these basketball players, these football players, and all these guys who went to college, they didn't spend one dime to go.
And
why wouldn't they?
That's right.
All college, all HBCUs are 501c3s, so they're tax deductible.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they set up an account, put millions in that account to educate African American children, and then we would have something attached to the child who college loan we paid off, that they would have to give back for the first 2 years 10% of whatever they earned those 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
After that, we asked them for a commitment of nothing less than 4% to the college they finished, to that HBCU. Then we don't have to worry about Joe Biden or no other body talking about paying off student loans. We as African-American people can pay off our own student loans.
But that also,
that's what HBCUs was built for.
Yeah,
huh?
But that also goes into the economics and the other realms, too. Rebuilding Selma, building houses, building businesses. All these folks who done got this money and gone, they rebuilding other. That I like that, JT, but that goes all the way down the line, don't it?
It does. You know, we talk about creating independence. We don't need people. We have to be independent ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Oprah Winfrey, I understand that she sent $1 million to Selma, but she didn't track her money.
Well,
you UK Tyler Perry gave $750 million to Atlanta, Georgia, for people who are older people who was behind on their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he tracked a dime. So you have to know where your money is going, where it's being placed, and is it doing what you put it there to do? We can't just throw it out in the air and let it fly around and people grab it and do what they want to do.
Well, because they really don't want, but they don't want to track. Don't be bothered. I always feel like these folks treat us like social workers. I done did that now to get off me. I feel bad. I'm going on. Instead of getting with folks who really are like JT, folks who want to really rebuild it, to really work and put something in, like Joe Louis did. You know, Joe Louis and all of them, they worked on that. You know, so some of these folks don't want to track, they don't want to be bothered with you, JT.
I know, because what I say to people in Atlanta, if you're going to live in Atlanta, you're going to have to take on some responsibility.
Birmingham.
Or you can move on somewhere else. We don't want you here.
Birmingham. Yeah, hey, I got you, baby. Take your butt back north where you came from.
Yeah, go on back where you come from, because we do things here. We set examples. We don't follow people. We are example setters.
Yeah, I like
that. So we have to do that, but the young people don't understand that. And what I try to do to them is that have some listening sessions so that I listen to what they got.
Yeah.
And then we start the conversation. Martin Luther King said you need to start the conversation around nonviolence.
Got to.
And then they say, well, these kids want to hear that. That's how you know that.
Yes, they do. Let me tell you, JT.
If you don't start the conversation, they don't want to hear it because they don't know it.
JT, I spoke at I spoke to a class at the University of Chicago Monday. When all white kids, they were waiting on me. Because the professor, I told them. So when I got through with them, they were so excited. Nobody had never talked to them like the way we talked to them. And they, I was talking about economics and education and other stuff, and they said they've been just following the wrong stuff. And that's what's wrong.
Well, they've been taught, white kids assume that they are free. They are privileged. That's an assumption that they was born with because their parents set that example for them. And that's not good either. You know, you have to, I don't know. I really don't care too much about what white folks do.
Oh, I don't either. But
the thing is, my concern is African Americans.
Yeah.
And how do we become independent?
Yeah. Well, you know, we
have to do that before we can be free.
Well, you think like that because white folks, we talking about the Southern folks. That's how we think. It's these liberal Northern folks up here. They select who's going to run. They're going to select the program. They select all that stuff. They're the ones that's pushing this stuff. Black Southern folks have a. I said you ain't gonna talk about Southern folks around me, because everything you got, Southern folks made it possible, and they think like you. And JT, you know, we all getting older, and there's not that many of us left. You're a critical thinker because you was in the movement, and before that you was. That's why you joined it, and you was under Jose, under Dr. King, and they taught us to be critical. Like you said, Dr. King said, to get elected is an extension of the civil rights movement.
That's exactly what it's supposed to be. The thing is that, you know, people who live in the North, African Americans come from the South. Both people in Chicago are from Mississippi, to Alabama.
The thing
is that we did a change of address card in Chicago over the winter. I won't ever forget it. 26 inches of snow fell on us. But we changed a whole lot of addresses.
Yeah.
So that people didn't know they didn't know they're supposed to do that. So, you know, you can call it illiterate if you want to, but that's not what it is. Is that we was not taught a lot of things. Where I finished high school in Albany, Georgia, my sister's name was Mr. Melvin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't graduate from Auburn from Monroe High School if you couldn't, if you weren't, if you was eight, was old enough to vote, you had to be registered.
Uh-huh.
And you also had, as you was a boy, you had to know how to do something with your hands.
Yeah, yeah. But also you could
you
read.
You had to have a trade.
Hey, they won't let you go to home without being able to read, do math. Like, they took, look, they took science in the North. There's no science lab. There's no math lab. There's most of the music. And they, and most of the high school kids graduate at a sixth grade level in reading, a third grade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's critical. You know, down here in Florida and Georgia, they don't allow you, it's against the law, to talk about African-American history
mm-hmm.
in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was supposed to be with two principals, two teachers today. I have not heard from them. You know, and I tried to reach out yesterday. I didn't hear from them. I had a long conversation with them last week.
Mm-hmm.
I've met with John Lewis Academy. I've met with the Tuskegee Airmen Institute. They promised that we would start to teach it nonviolent to the elementary school, the middle school students.
Uh-huh.
Well, but they didn't. They have not. They don't answer the phone anymore.
Well, you know, JT, that's what, and I do just like you do, because those of us who are still here try to do our best. Nonviolent works, you know.
It does.
And people say that mess, but we changed the world with nonviolent. And I always deal with two things. I deal with the first step is you gather information and you step. But I told them, and the principle, the third principle of nonviolence, that you fight the injustice, not the person, because you got to get reconciliation. Nonviolent work, but these folks don't want it to work. They don't want to because they want to make our children be useful idiots. That's what they want.
Well, you know, we have to decide, are we going to be who we are?
Mm-hmm.
And ain't nobody going to tell us who we need to be.
Mm-hmm.
We know who we are.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, the civil rights movement was the most important thing of the 20th century.
That's right.
And that we changed the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
We had people say we should overcome all over the world.
That's right. And it's right out of the Bible. Overcoming is out of the Bible. That's right out of the Bible. And we're Christian. We believe in God. We believe that God was going to take care of us and still believe it. And if you take God out of the equation, JT, I mean, what do you have?
Well, you know, I'll tell you this. We did a research on all of the denominations around the world.
Uh-huh.
There are billions of so-called Christians. So I said, well, you know, we found out the heads of all of those denominations and drafted something and sent to the Pope and asking him to call a meeting of all of the leaders of these denominations to the Vatican.
Why were you
and let's
there?
Discuss that racism is a sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sin. That's exactly what it
of
is.
Of course it's a sin.
And we did a webinar on it, and that was on a Thursday. That Sunday, a young lady, a friend of mine from Oakland, California, called me. She said, JT, I'm going to send you a picture. I want you to see this. That was a Catholic church in Oakland, California, had the same huge sign saying racism is a sin in front of their church. Now, they do nothing about the webinar or nothing. They had no idea.
Well, you
so
know,
I said to her that I'm going to call these people Monday morning, and I did. And
uh-huh.
I still have conversation with them. But they said they've been writing to the Pope for the last 15 or 20 years, and he doesn't answer anything.
Oh, you need to hear Dr. King's speech on one of them popes and what they be doing. It's a whole speech.
Well,
but
you know,
he's
just performing.
But we got our, yeah, but not on, the Christian, Southern Christian Leadership Conference Christians, and we believe in God, and we work. Now, in terms of, they tell folks about systemic racism and all that stuff holding them back. I submit to you, along with what you said, is those who have reaped the education and political and economic benefit. If we could bring these folks to work on behalf of our people, to work, let folks work with us, not for us, and not lead us, we can change. Mm-hmm. But we got to, as you send that letter around to them, we got to get these folks who done reaped, JT.
Yeah. Well, you know, what are these things about HBC? I know Auburn State College, when I went there, was a school of basic education. I mean, they taught different things,
mm-hmm.
elementary education.
Yeah.
So we got away from that after the Civil Rights Movement, and they began to name these colleges universities.
Uh-huh,
and they started tricking us into believing that we were somewhat like those schools up in the Northeast. I mean, I said, that's not true. Spelman College sometimes say, well, we the vassal of the South. Why you got to be the Bachelor of the South? Why can't you be Spelman College or HBCU? Yeah, because that's white money tied to it for one thing. So they have to obey. I don't obey these well. I just don't do that. You know, I stand for what I believe in. And I spoke to a group in South Louisiana on last Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, you know, before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave.
Come on with it.
And gone home to my God and be free.
All right now.
Because I'm not going back to slavery, and I ain't going to do nothing. I'm on a boat. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to keep telling the story is that Martin Luther King said we need to be free.
Mm-hmm. And he gave his life.
Freedom rang from everywhere.
Everywhere.
Huh?
Gone in.
And we're going to let it rain. I am. Mm-hmm. I'm 86 years old, and I will not give up.
Well, you know, we're getting older. Because you came, you joined the movement. Were you from Savannah? What part of Georgia
Albany.
You from? Albany.
Albany, Georgia.
And you joined the movement as a college student. You was in when you playing football in New York, and I was young folks leading that movement. You was young when you joined the movement.
I was 1962.
Mm-hmm. You joined that movement. And I tell folks, don't tell me nothing about Southern folks. Gave you everything. And even the ones who had in the North, like John Johnson, whatever, he's from Alabama. Folks who had because they think and they thought like you. Now, JT, I just don't know. Where do we go for those keys and where do we go from here? I'm going to take you out. My board is lit up. Some folks want to talk to you. Where do we go from community or chaos? You know, where do we go from here?
We got to declare our independence. That's all we got to do. We have to do that. We have to get, you see, Oprah and Michael Jordan and all these other guys, people around, these millionaires around the world, they don't understand the civil rights movement. They just don't understand it.
And they don't understand they're there because of the civil rights movement.
Well, they understand that. They don't want to. They don't want to talk about it. All I need is an audience with them, and I guarantee you, when I get through, they'll hear me. Because the thing I'm talking about is what Martin Luther King talked about. We must be free, and you can't legislate freedom.
Mm-mm.
You can't do it. So if I don't care if you're a senator or a congressman, you can't legislate it. What you got to do is that a senator told Martin Luther King in the airport. Said, Dr. King, I'm so glad I met you. I just want to tell you one thing. I'm a senator from somewhere. He said, but there's one thing we do here is that's a tramp, tramp of marching feet. Keep on marching, Dr. King.
You see?
Martin Luther King said, don't you worry about that. That we will do.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this before I go to this phone. I remember Bloody Sunday. That's why I played Bella by Jimmy Lee Jackson. I know you wasn't there. You was in Montgomery. What you were going to – I had gone I was on Bloody Sunday, but the night Jim Lee Jackson got killed, I had went to Montgomery. But on the day that we got beat, Bloody Sunday, you was in Montgomery?
Yeah, you know what? I came to Selma. I came from St. Augustine, Florida.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And came into Selma. I spent a week in Selma. And then Jose asked me to go over to Montgomery started preparing Montgomery for the march. Because some of the people from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, it was not their idea to march, so they didn't want to support it.
No, but John Lewis did. He did. He left them out there. He supported it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they gave us the blues. But, you know, we dealt with the Big Les and Leon Hall, and all of us was at Ben Clark. And
you got blues. My God.
We was in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
And we set it up for the march, and it went through, it did everything we were supposed to do. I don't know why Jose always wanted me to go somewhere first, because I was D.C. during the Poor People's Campaign.
You know why? He know you and Big Lester would beat anything that it is. Look,
we wouldn't think about nothing.
I'm coming to you. I got to tell y'all about this. You remember we was doing the Northern Tour with Dr. King?
Yeah,
we toured the
North. Tour.
And we toured the North before we came here. And I told my audience this before, but I mentioned it again. We was in Philadelphia, and this white boy jumped on the stage. We was up there singing Freedom Song, and you and Big Lester grabbed that boy, threw him down. He said, I thought you was nonviolent. Lester said, I am. Lester stomped that sucker all in his face. He said, I'm sure it was nonviolent to me, man. He was going to come up on that podium. He had a dagger or something in his hand, and I don't know, you called him or Lester called him. James Orange was there, too, but I know when that man left there, he said, they ain't nonviolent. But
yeah, well,
Big Lester.
I miss my friends. I really do.
I miss all of them too, JT. That's why I call and talk to you. It's not but a few of us left.
I mean, a very few.
We got to figure out something. We say it all the time. We got.
You know, let me ask you a question. Could you come to Atlanta on the 7th?
Can I come?
Of March, yeah.
I'll call you when I get home.
Do that because Tracy Colvin, she's from Selma, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lawyer. She lives in Montgomery now.
Mm-hmm.
But she the first place they camped was on her great-grandfather's land. He owned, I said owned, had the to 80 acres.
Yeah.
And that's where they stayed because the first place they were supposed to stay, this guy was a sharecropper, and the white man said he wouldn't have
no
niggers on his land.
No way.
That's right. So he stayed there. Now we're getting ready to build a museum on it. I'm on their board of directors.
I'm going to call you when I get home.
Do that because they come into Atlanta. They fly in from California, the recording team. They wanted to do Andy Young. But Andy's birthday is around. He leaves it on the 7th going to Jamaica to celebrate his birthday.
Well, okay.
He'd be 92. That's where you go at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll have this in Atlanta. I'm trying to get Lula.
Well, let's talk over. I'll call you at home. I'm gonna take my board is lit up, y'all. I got 15 minutes, so don't go too long. I know y'all have some questions and concerns, and I'm gonna say they want to talk to you, JT. My board is lit up, so y'all help me out. I'm gonna hang up on you. I tell you now, Ron.
Yes, my question is, I know one of the things the civil rights fought for is. In terms of politics, so I want to ask you, JT, what's your assessment and opinion of where we are when we look that we have more elected officials than we've ever had, but we don't seem to be making much progress.
Thank you
very much.
Now keep that on answer right now. Wait. Write it down, and then I'm gonna let you answer two questions at a time because my board is lit up. Okay. Why is Ron locked in, Brianna? Okay. Brianna, help me out. I can't get rid of Ron. Why he's locked in? Okay, thank you. Okay, hold on. Okay. I can't get rid of Ron, Brianna. Hold on, JT. Okay. You're going to help me out here. Okay. Israel, just answer two questions at a time. You remember, Israel, come on, ask your question.
Okay, thank you. I called in because the gentleman mentioned something about his birth certificate said Negro. And I was going to ask that question the other day before they abruptly ended the program at VON. I wonder, what was Dr. King? Was he Negro or Black? Because I just heard him, and nationality is important. And last but not least, you say we can't legislate our freedom. They show enough legislating our demise.
Thank you, Thank you. Answer both questions. And you know, Negro and color was on our birth certificate during that time. Let's come on. Answer the first question.
It really was.
Yeah.
The first question was that, you know, one of the things, let me go back to Barack Obama. Obama could have been a great president, but we didn't support him.
No, we supported him.
Every time Barack Obama tried to get something to go through the Senate and the Congress, we should have been in Washington by the thousands.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
But we didn't do it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm just saying what we didn't do. We have to march on. We have to show all those white women put together. They marched. They went there by the millions. And the one thing they should have asked for, they didn't work there. That's term limits. That's the movement they should have had.
You can't
stay in the Senate 30 years and think you can do something because you're old. Mitch McConnell, all they old is Joe Biden and anybody else.
Let me ask you this.
So how are you going to talk about somebody
I want to go back to the question. Ron's question was that we got all these folks in office. That's true. They like this. These contracts coming out, they don't go ask for nothing. They just sign off.
Well, the problem is those who know the answers, those who are in a position to share the answers, don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to try to get the city council here in Atlanta to visit all these city councilmen in these small towns in Georgia and share with them what we're doing in Atlanta and how we do things in Atlanta. Because people shop in Atlanta, in Georgia. Atlanta, sometimes people say, is Georgia.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, you see, we have to share our information. We don't do that. We should do it all over the country.
We know how to organize, and those of us who know and try to do it, I know when I was in office, I know what I did. All the stuff I did and all the contracts I gave out and trying to talk to these other Negroes what we got to do. See, they forget that they we live in a republic, a representative government, and they stop representing black folks. They see some of them be looking for a job, and some of them just want to be important. And we need to be very careful about who we select to represent us. That's the problem.
Most times we vote for the wrong person.
Emotions. Okay, let me go. Let me go to the next one, Minister Hayden.
Hey, good morning to your guests. You know, I've been on this earth for about 59 years, and I've never heard the story about the young man to why everything took place in Selma. So when I go back down there to visit the family, I don't see no representation or plaque or anything in the memory of him. So what would you find that at?
Well, that's just one of the things that we're trying to do is to make Selma the city it needs to be. Well, we're supposed to be meeting with three of the city councilors on next Wednesday. So that we can present, I have a team of people that are some civil engineers, electrical engineers, program managers, grant writers, and all of that. We have a whole team, or we've already met with them one time, that we are proposing to allow us to do Selma the way we think it ought to be.
Okay.
And if that happens, what happens in a town like that is 17,000 people in Selma. The mindset changes because we're going to do, we do construction training. We do all kinds of things. We don't just go in there to redo the buildings. We train the people. We give them education. We did start to tell people like Home Depot, you don't have to build no huge Home Depot in South Alabama, but you're going to have one down there.
Well, let me tell you,
You can downsize these things and service the whole black belt.
Right. Let me say to Minister Hayden, Jimmie Lee Jackson with the IE, he's in Perry County. He's buried in a slave grave. You can look on the YouTube and his family does. They do tours and stuff. So look on YouTube and get the name off of this. Jimmie Lee Jackson and the family, they love to talk about the land and what's going on. All them white folks, they trek over there. And we don't ever talk about that, but they need to be a part of what we're doing. But look on YouTube, Jimmie Lee Jackson, and you can find out everything you want. When you go down, make sure you go over there.
Okay, thank you, man. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Okay, let me see. Who is this right here? Al Stone. Al Stone, how you doing? Who is Al Stone? Hello, going once, going twice.
Hello, Miss Tillman.
Yes, sir.
I apologize. I just got off the phone with the union. We about to get out of here.
Come on, talk now. You ain't got but a few minutes.
Okay, real quick, you're exactly right about their related properties, related management. I worked on like 7 or 8 of their properties with white contractors and stuff. They do hire black folks, but they do not give out contracts to black contractors. You're 100% right on that.
Al, I want you to call me next week because I want to further this because billions and billions of dollars, and there's no black contractor, all this other stuff, and these elected officials going to let this white boy come and get these billions of dollars from New York? Bull. So let's talk about it next week, Al. Call me next week, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. No, I was looking in a – JT, I was looking in the newspaper. They hollering, oh, we got to do this. All these contracts being let, these black folks signing off on it, and ain't demanding no training, like you just said, or no black folks having contracts. That's what we're talking about. I say, I'll do all the talking you want to. They got rid of the cleaning stuff out of the schools. Okay, the Hispanic government.
Yeah, but we don't stand for it in Atlanta.
I know. Let me tell you.
We don't stand for that.
I got you.
The Beta Maynard Jackson made it very plain. It's going to be 33%
You're damn right.
Won't be no damn airport.
That's what I'm talking about. And look.
We give opportunities down here.
Let me tell you something. So I told them last week, JT, y'all hollering about, the rats in the school, all that stuff, and they finna get in. I said, them folks playing with y'all. We know how to clean. Put yourself together, cleaning company, go down and demand at the Board of Education. Hi, y'all. It's a whole nother thing we got to be, but that's where we come from. Okay. No, I know you. Hey, JT, I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying it too much.
Yeah.
Sam Bell. Sam Bell?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, it's me, yes. How you doing?
I'm fine, yes, Sam Bell. You're talking to JT Johnson, my brother in the movement.
Yes, that's true, because, you know, all the stuff they're talking about, it don't make no sense.
What stuff you talking about, Sam?
You know, what I'm saying, I feel like this, you know, all these all these governments and stuff, political people, they're making all this money, but they're not doing enough for the people.
No, they got a job. They're not thinking about representation.
Enough of that, I feel sorry for the people in the ground. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they don't have nowhere to go. They don't have nowhere to live. They need a job.
We got to do something, Bill. Let's talk next week. Let's stay on where we at. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Let me tell y'all something. Thank you, Bill. Let me just say, we got billions and billions of contracts. They think I'm crazy. Go get the contract. You got to do this. You got to do that. But our folks get their little piece and get their little donation, their campaign. There's no way. This man got so much. He in Florida. He in everywhere. He done came here. They finna build this. You got all these black folks here that can build, and we don't have no vocational schools, no nothing. And you going to keep giving them. I know. Put together a vocational school for blacks. And do this and do that and get some contracts.
Yeah, I deal with HB Dex. It's a trading company.
Uh-huh.
They top flight around the country.
Uh-huh.
They do all the training for us here in Atlanta. That's what we do. We have construction ready. I have a training program that I do in churches
that we
get ready to do at an Impact Church. And the airport is going to foot the bill. So we have to be ready to train young people because they've taken all the trains out of schools here in the South.
And the North,
too. But we don't care about that because we're going to do our own training.
But you know what you do?
And, you know, plumbers make $270 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and welders, you can't beat that. I'm saying there's right here in Atlanta is about $70 or $80 billion worth of construction going on right now.
Chicago, too.
In the next 10 years, it'll be $200 or $300 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are not hand ready to take on some of that work and make some of that money, then we're gonna be out of business.
But you know,
because
what you
we
just
have
said,
to come together, but we have to trust each other. That's
but
trust.
But know what you just said, JT? You're working with the churches and all these different folks. I told these folks, come on up out of here. These churches you're getting them. That's not going on. I understand what you're doing. And I'm glad you're saying that because this is the kind of stuff we're trying to put out there. And folks said, there she go again. We are responsible for our young folks to leave something for them. We're responsible for their future.
That's right. They are our future.
Yes.
But I don't go to church very often anymore because the social gospel is going to bed. And the ministers don't. I know what Jesus did. He woke me up this morning.
Ooh,
so I don't need you. You want to preach that sermon to me? What I want to know is what you gonna do.
Yeah, let's see what you're doing.
As a pastor, what are you gonna do?
You know
what? That.
Yeah, that's because you was led
and
by ministry.
And I think churches. And then the other thing I say to them: you all need to have listening sessions on Sunday. Just listen to your congregation and let them ask you questions. And let them ask you some things.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just preach to me all day every day.
Do you know why? Mm-mm. Because you cannot. You came out of that movement. You came out of that movement.
Well,
and our preachers were
proactive. Some of the greatest preachers on earth was in the movement.
You darn right. And they weren't scared.
I mean, what Shuttlesworth said, that the Lord had taken all of the fear out of our hearts. All we got to do is barge on.
Thank you. I'm going to take these.
And I believe that. And I still do.
I believe it, too. Let me take these two calls, y'all. I'm not going to take no more. I'm going to take these two calls, and I'm going to let JT close out. Let me take the two calls. No more, y'all. Please don't call. Dorothy, who is Dorothy? Hello? Who is it?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? This is Miss Dorothy Flanagan.
Okay, Miss Flanagan.
Yes. I'm calling to ask Mr. Johnson, could he give me a way to contact someone in Albany. I have relatives there, and I have inherited some land in Baconton and that I want to build on. And I need to be able to make contact. We were in Albany last year to try and view the land. But I need to be able to make contact with someone.
JT, you want our phone number?
Yeah, I tell you what.
I'll get a phone number and give it to you.
Her phone number. Give her my phone number.
I'll
give you their call. I have a friend down there, Henry Mathis. He's a very dear friend of mine. And he will do whatever I ask him.
Okay.
So if
I'll
you
give
want
her
to do that, just
give
me a call and we'll talk about it.
Okay, hold on.
Give me your number.
No, hold on. No, my engineer is going to give you. his number. Okay, hold on, Dorothy. Okay, give him a. Okay, put JT number down for him. Okay, Anita.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Martin Luther King said we would get to the promised land, but that was the promise of obeying God and getting our blessings, and the promise that he told us if we obeyed him, they would go to the generations. And we're forgetting that. We're getting into the money part. God didn't just promise us money. God doesn't need money, and he doesn't need money to bless you. So we got to kind of get beyond that and get into what is the promise of God. What did Martin Luther King talk about? Fairness, everybody being treated right, the whole globe, and whatever else is beyond our globe.
Okay.
But I want to say this. When the saints go marching in, it's for the civil rights movement. When the saints go marching in, God's truth keeps marching on.
Okay, thank you. Is that a question or a statement, right?
That's it's a middle of both, and I enjoyed it.
Okay, here to hang up and here to talk to you. I thank you for calling. Please, nobody else
love
call.
Y'all.
Don't call me. No, I love y'all, but I got to close with JT, okay, y'all? I'll put the, no more calls, y'all, please, JT. They love you, baby. They trying to talk to you. I get calls from all
right.
I get. I even some of the soldiers over in Korea in the bunkers, I can tell I miss them when they don't call me because they, when they're here and they be calling me. I get calls from everywhere. So people was listening from all over. I have a huge network, and I'm glad that you So I want you to close out for me.
Well, you know, the thing we have to consider is that there's nothing wrong with being independent. There's nothing to be afraid of. We are a part of this earth,
mm-hmm.
and we own it just like anyone else. You know, it is not, this thing, it was not an assignment for Caucasians to own the world,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
they are destroying it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's happened. They are destroying it.
Along with
they don't want
for,
a they don't want a peaceful.
Along with
community.
They use for Indians, mm-hmm. Negroes. Yeah, we can't put everything on them. You know, we know
no, we
can't.
We got some. we got
you know,
some
we deal with one,
in our race.
Yeah, the third principle of nonviolence is deal with the injustice, not the person. Because if you
that's
don't,
right.
if you deal with the person, JT, you cannot have mm-hmm. the last step of nonviolent reconciliation. So we have got to teach our young folks how to deal with this injustice that's going on, and it'd be surprised as those you're working for and putting in, and they're using us, and we're not going to be used for idiots.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, you know, we just have to practice the principles. We really do, you know, and if we do that, we'll be okay anyway.
Yeah.
And we have to believe. We have to believe that we have overcome.
Yeah.
So we have to perform like that. So that means that if in Chicago, if they give it up 50, 20, and 25%, then we need to change that in Chicago.
They ain't giving up nothing. They just going
well,
out
they,
there
they
voting.
The same thing about California. Then you can't eat. They don't even discuss it out
they
there.
If you can't eat, I can't eat. I tell you, I'm telling you, black folks got to wake up and shake up. We're not going to have nothing. Not only taking the community, they got all the contracts. It's really something. JT, keep your eyes on the prize, Beyonce, real long. JT, I want to thank you. We're going to keep our eyes on the prize. I got to go home. I got to go home, and I got to look at my schedule, and I will call you tonight. And
okay, now call me for March the 7th. I think you'll be very important to be interviewed.
I'll get you. Hey, until we meet again, keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the prize, my brother.
Keep marching on.
Hello. Keep your prize on the prize. I love you, JT.
Love you too, dear.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, well, I guess those of us who gave so much have pain, because we know we can do it. Ain't nothing to it but to do it. How do we relate getting out? How can we fight for the contract? Why are we fighting for education? We too busy systemic, this and that, listen to all this stuff these folks got your mind. We need to be talking every day to these young folks. Tell them that we're going to get a school for you for the artisan trade. Tell children how to read. Tell these churches to set up freedom schools. Tell these representatives, you don't give us some of them contracts, you gone. If we don't work, they don't work. We got to do that. Now, what he said, Dr. King said, that a black elected official is an extension of the civil rights movement. Dorothy Wright Tillman, call for you in a conversation with me every Saturday right here on WVAM from 6 to 8 p.m. Don't forget to pray for Dr. Anderson hanging in there. And if you want to let him see, powernomic.com, get them lessons that he had. Dr. Anderson, We're praying for you all over the country. Black folks, keep your eyes on the prize. There's going to be some ain't going to do nothing, but it's enough to us. Ain't nothing to it but to...